Welcome to the Mycotoxin Matters podcast from Alltech Mycotoxin Management. As mycotoxins present an ever-increasing threat to livestock production, join us as we discuss these impacts and potential solutions, sustainable farming, and our vision for a planet of plenty.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our latest episode of Mycotoxin Matters. In today's episode, we are going to take some time to look at a swine and mycotoxin study that was recently published in the journal Toxins. Joining me today to discuss that paper and some of the findings from that is one of the lead authors, Dr. Alexandra Weaver. Dr. Weaver is a global technical support specialist and works out of the USA. Alexandra, thank you for joining us today and taking the time to talk through this paper.
Great. Thank you for having me here.
Before we get into maybe the substance of the paper itself, Alexandra, I'd like to take it back a step. And within the, I guess, the title of the paper itself, we're using terminology such as meta-analysis and meta-regression. Maybe you could just give a back to basics on what those two terms are specifically, and then why are they both important in the context of this study?
Yep, no, that's a good place to start. So yes, this was a meta-analysis paper with a meta-regression. Now, a meta-analysis is essentially a statistical method that allows the user to bring together numerous different papers that are all on a similar topic. So you can bring them all together and try to come up with an overall conclusion of what those individual papers are saying. So for this paper that we've published, what we are looking at is actually a meta-analysis of the effects of mycotoxins without or with yeast cell wall extract, which was Alltech's Mycosorb product, and how that influenced pig performance. So we're taking all of the individually published papers and putting them together to get this overall conclusion on these effects. Now, the meta-regression actually allows us to take this analysis one step further and see how different factors are influencing the results. And specifically, what we have looked at is how mycotoxin levels influence the effects on performance. So we divided the data into two categories, either category one, where this was a lower mycotoxin challenge, and we classified that as either when all the mycotoxin levels reported in the individual papers were below the EU and US regulatory guideline limits. Or we also looked at then a category two, which was a higher mycotoxin challenge. And in this case, it was where at least one of the mycotoxins in these papers were reported to be above those EU or US guideline limits. So with this information, we can actually now say, what is happening to the performance of those pigs when we have a lower mycotoxin challenge below those guidelines versus above those guideline levels?
Alexandra, building on that then, and I'm taking into account the meta-analysis perspective here, would you like to, I guess, give an outline of the study approach, some of the key stats around the number of papers you assessed, be it without mycotoxins or with yeast cell wall inclusion, the number of countries covered, and the type of diets in general? And then, I guess, what was novel about this paper? Is it a novel paper? And, you know, is this approach something different than what would be, I guess, categorized as a standard mycotoxin type paper?
Yep, definitely. So if we take a bit of a background kind of what went into this analysis, of course, we did a literature search to look for the papers that had mycotoxin contamination, as well as the use of the yeast cell wall extract. And these papers had to have some report of pig performance. And we specifically looked at average daily gain, average daily feed intake, and gain to feed ratio in this meta-analysis. Of course, there are many other factors that could be tested in papers, health performances, gut health, but we focused on just growth performance here. Now, what we wanted to do was, again, see the difference of these different treatments. And to do this, we had to compare the different diets. So the first comparison was conducted looking at mycotoxins being fed versus the control treatments, where mycotoxins were very low or not reported. or where they were not consuming those mycotoxins. So what is the mycotoxin effect? We also looked at then that yeast cell wall extract effect. So when the pigs were consuming mycotoxins and the yeast cell wall extract versus mycotoxins alone. And then finally, the yeast cell wall extract use with that mycotoxin challenge versus the control fed animals. So that would tell us then how are we returning back to the control when the product is being utilized during the mycotoxin challenge. Now, when we went through all of the data, we went through all the literature and sorted out what could be utilized, we actually ended up with 23 references, which was a total of 30 different treatments due to different mycotoxin levels. These were conducted over 20 years and in 10 different countries, and it equated to about over 3,100 pigs in all of these treatments. Now, you asked about the what's novel about this work, and what I think is really novel about it is that it is a unique meta-analysis in that it has this meta-regression component. There are other published meta-analysis out there looking at the mycotoxin effects in pigs, but these are not necessarily broken down by the mycotoxin level and specifically relating it to regulatory guideline limits. The other thing is that it really is the first meta-analysis, particularly in swine, that looks at a very specific way of mitigation using that yeast cell wall extract product as a way to deal with that mycotoxin challenge.
Thank you, Alexandra. So clearly a pretty robust approach in terms of how you you went about building this study and paper. We could probably spend a whole podcast talking about the findings in general, and I've seen you present separately those findings, and you know it takes a while. But for the listeners today, you know, would you be able to break down then what would you determine as the key outcomes or the key findings from the study?
Yep, definitely. So I think the most interesting findings are where we look at that meta regression with the categories and see how the mycotoxins are affecting the pigs differently at those low versus high levels, as well as the use of the yeast cell wall extract. So if we first think about that mycotoxin effect, what we saw was actually at those lower levels of mycotoxins below the guideline limits in the US and EU. We actually saw that there was a significant effect on average daily gain of the pigs. They actually lost 79 grams per day in average daily gain on average over the trials that were in that category. And that was a significant effect from those control fed animals without toxins. So even these low levels are giving a very significant change in growth. Now, when we look at the higher risk mycotoxin levels, so those above the EU or US regulatory guidelines, there was quite a range. Some of the mycotoxins levels were very close to those regulatory guidelines. Some of them were much above. So we do have a range of mycotoxin risk here. And we did see that there was a continuation on the effect on average daily gain, where on average there was 85 grams per day lost in these pigs. And average daily feed intake was now impacted as well, with an average loss of 166 grams per day. Now, when we go on to further see what was happening when yeast cell wall extract was added during that mycotoxin challenge, we did see at the lower level exposure, so again, those below the regulatory guidelines, where there was a negative effect on performance with mycotoxins alone. Now we see a positive response using the yeast cell wall extract, where there was an improvement in 48 grams per day in average daily gain, and that was a significant effect over mycotoxins alone. And actually, it was enough that it actually was significantly similar to those of the control-fed pigs. So that yeast cell wall extract use during the mycotoxin challenge returned the gain back to where the control-fed pigs were with no mycotoxin challenge. Now, at a higher level risk for average daily gain, we didn't see a significant effect with the product included, but we did get a numerical increase in average daily gain, even at these high-risk levels of 7 grams increasing over mycotoxin alone. And average daily feed intake did have a tendency for increasing with the use of yeast cell wall extract during the mycotoxin challenge by 25 grams per day. So this information really does show us that there is a negative effect of these mycotoxins at these lower risk levels, and that the yeast cell wall extract is helping to deal with that challenge on growth performance.
That exposure of animals to the lower, what we would categorize, I guess, as lower mycotoxin levels, Alexandra, I think it's fair to say it's a growing topic, certainly in the industry. I think I've World Mycotoxin Forum a few months back. It was dominant at the same thing at the event before that. And I guess the summary is normally, you know, more research is needed to determine that the effect of this chronic exposure of mycotoxins on the animal. Does this study, you know, help to move forward that conversation at all? Or does it change how we should think about what are the effects of chronic exposure when it comes to animal health and performance?
Yeah, I think it does give a good piece of information and helps tell that story because we are, again, bringing together numerous different research publications into one analysis. And we can say that, yes, statistically, we are seeing this effect overall of lower levels causing a negative impact on the growth, the average daily gain of these pigs. We do know that mycotoxin levels at these low risks are very common. When we look at data coming from the Alltech 37 Plus laboratory, we can see that the majority of samples are coming in at these lower concentrations for these mycotoxins like deoxynivalenol or fumonisin or aflatoxin. But at the same time, we do see most samples containing, more than 99% of samples containing two or more mycotoxins. So it's always key to remember that multiple mycotoxins are out there and they will influence the total risk. But I think getting back to the sort of the question on research is, I think we do need more low-risk research. It's always good to use naturally contaminated materials, looking at multiple mycotoxin challenges, really modeling what those pigs might be eating, and trying to still continue to learn more, especially if we think about gut health effects or immune system effects. Those are very key in the production of pigs, and it'd be great to continue to learn more about those. But certainly getting information from our meta-analysis here with this meta-regression really does tell us a lot to start thinking about how chronic levels can certainly impact the pigs.
Alexandra, going back to, I guess, the point you made earlier when you were discussing the findings and the fact that the beneficial effects of yeast cell wall extract tended to reduce, I guess, as the mycotoxin loads increased. Would it be a fair question to ask then, is it possible for producers to manage the higher loads of mycotoxins, and maybe what more should they be doing rather than just relying on a nutritional solution such as yeast cell wall extract?
Yep, definitely. I certainly think there's a way to manage high levels of mycotoxins, and that, you know, if you're testing, it really starts with that, with analysis. You want to know what your grains are containing. And if you can, if producers or feed manufacturers can test those incoming commodities and know what mycotoxin levels are there, if they get a high load, they can maybe start to track where are those high loads coming from. Maybe you can do some sourcing differences to try to manage the risk. If there's a particular area, particular country or state or province that has a high risk, maybe there's a way to look at sourcing from other lower risk locations. That's kind of one step to managing it before it even gets into the feed that you're making. At the same time, once you know those levels, maybe there's an opportunity to segregate out those grains. So you have a low-risk set of grains and a high-risk set. At that point, maybe including those into the diet at varying rates to or feeding them to a less sensitive species or life stage. With those types of formulation changes, that can help maybe lower the total risk in the ration, even though you might still be using that higher load of mycotoxins. Maybe it can bring it down enough by doing some formulation changes. So I think you can still have higher levels of mycotoxins coming in, and by tweaking the way that they're being utilized, it can drop that total finished feed level of mycotoxins to maybe a more acceptable level. And at that point, certainly the use of a mitigation product like the yeast cell wall extract can really help those pigs then to deal with any challenge that is then in their feed still.
Thank you, Alexandra. Then to finish this part of the podcast, you know, when we discuss research and papers like this, we typically ask the last question around, you know, what are the practical applications? So if I'm listening today and I'm a swine nutritionist, a swine producer, or somehow involved in the swine production process, you know, what would you say are some of the key take-home points that I should be considering in my daily work?
Yeah, I think one of the, you know, the key things that we've learned from this research is that even if it's below those guideline limits that are set by the EU or the US, or what you've set in your feed mill, if it's around that maybe DAWN 900 to 1000 ppb level, then you need to certainly be aware that levels lower than that are still showing to have an impact on the growth. And that could be influencing many downstream effects. Of course, the health of the pig is potentially impacted, and the growth rate, maybe that'll increase the number of days that it takes to grow those pigs to the market weight. Maybe it changes the uniformity of the pigs. There's a lot of things maybe that these chronic levels are changing, and on a daily basis, maybe not noticeable, but over time, certainly we've seen from this research that there could still be a change in performance and potentially health of those animals. So I think that's one of the key takeaways, is just remembering, even if it maybe seems like it's below regulation, there could still be a potential challenge with these levels of toxins or any toxins that are present. And I think the second key thing from this research is just, if you do have these mycotoxin levels and you're trying to manage them based on those guidelines, having a solution to go into the feed, the yeast cell wall extract, to deal with those mycotoxins that are coming along still in the feed is very important. That can help manage the risk to the animal. It reduces their stress, reduces those damages to the intestinal tract, the immune system. And so it can help bring their performance and health back. And even if you come across some higher risk levels every once in a while, there is some protection provided then. So together, thinking about, you know, remembering all mycotoxin levels potentially are problematic, and then there are ways really to deal with it, whether it's the manufacturing side or the nutritional formulation side. You know, there are solutions to help.
Very good. Thank you, Alexandra, for a fantastic summary. I've no doubt plenty of people across the livestock industry will have taken a lot out of that today. If you are listening and you're left wanting a bit more information, we will include a link to the full paper that you can read in more detail in the show notes underneath where the podcast is hosted. But yes, thank you once again, Alexandra. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next month with another episode of Mycotoxin Matters.
We hope you enjoyed listening today and look forward to you joining us next time on the Mycotoxin Matters podcast. For more information on the topics discussed, please visit knowmycotoxins.com. That's KNOW mycotoxins.com.